Hi, this is Brownie Amiga with another audio blog. The date is 21st July 2010. Today I actually found a confirmation of a theory that I've had a long time ago, and that was that essentially if you learn Esperanto and if you would think in Esperanto, that you actually would think faster and use less brain cycles, so to speak. The ones who aware of how computers work will know about that a program that runs less code will actually run faster. So if you write some software, for example in assembler, and you end up with 100 CPU cycles running it, and let's say you write something in C or you write something in Python or any other language, okay, and the program will use 500 cycles, it will run slower. Now my theory was that that will work on the brain too. And the point is really this, all languages that are, except Esperanto, have a lot of mess in them, okay? A lot of stuff that doesn't really make sense that has grown over the years. So exceptions and all kinds of things that have naturally grown and they are traditional. That means they are repeated and repeated from generation to generation and never cleaned up because it is traditional, but it doesn't make sense in a logical way. I'll give an example. For example, you say, in English you say good, it has two O's, okay? But you say blood, which has also two O's. Where's the point in this? Where is the sense in this? There is none. It is an exception, it is an anomaly, okay? It is quaint and nice, and people feel cozy about it because it's culture, you know, it's tradition. It's always been like this, and there's no other explanation necessary for them. So my idea was that since Esperanto doesn't have any exceptions, it was made to not have exceptions. Was actually made artificially to be easy to learn. And there's people that say that it's 10 times easier to learn than any other language because of that. That when you, let's say, you think in Esperanto instead of English or whatever, that you would actually think with less energy and you could think faster. And that was a theory that I had. I could never prove it so far. But now, in the book I've just read, it's called Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, he actually makes a point for that, in that he states that Asians are better in math. And a lot of people know this, and there's lots of explanations for that, but he actually comes up with the correct explanation for that. And the correct one is that counting in, for example, Chinese or Japanese is much more regular than in English. For example, in Chinese and in Japanese, you do it pretty much the same as in Esperanto. So you first say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or whatever, right? And then when English actually does the exception of saying 11, 12, 13, it actually will say 10-1, 10-2, 10-3, 10-4. And it will keep to that thing. And there has been tests every year that they check kids in sixth grade. And they actually, like Asians, always beat everybody else just because their language is regular, and that means when kids learn to count and do arithmetic and everything, they don't have to translate in their head. That means the way that they say numbers is actually the way it is really in reality. But let's say you want to add 11 and 11, you know, you have to first go and translate 11 into 1, 1. While let's say in Esperanto, you would use the deck for 10 and unu for 1, like you would do in Japanese. So you know that it's actually what you're thinking in your head is actually the representation of it. While English speakers and many other languages too in the West have to translate that. So they have one step, one cycle more for the CPU, which slows them down. And so kids that actually speak these languages, they are better in math because they have it easier. They don't have to work as hard, you know, so they have an advantage. So basically, the language, for example, in English, is inefficient for math. So the conclusion of that is, if you have a kid and it's a Westerner kid, for example, you don't have to teach that kid Asian languages to be better in math. You can use Esperanto for that. And, you know, and the kid is gonna learn, you know, that's another fact. It's been proven. The kid can take 1 hour per year, you know, in school, and at the end of that year, the kid will be able to understand and speak Esperanto proficiently in any regard. And that is saving a lot of times. For example, comparing that a kid would learn Japanese, we would take several years. And to indicate, like to underline the whole point of why this is really better and more efficient, I'll teach you how to count in Esperanto, okay? And the thing is, I don't speak Japanese, I don't speak Korean, I don't speak Chinese or Mandarin or whatever. So I can tell you how it is in Esperanto, and it is so easy. It's really ridiculous. Okay, so you have uno is one, du is two, you have three, quar, quin is five, ses is six, sep, ok, nau, dek. Okay, dek is 10. And now you know already how to count up to 20, because you just say dek uno, dek du, dek tri, dek quar, dek quin, dek ses, dek sep, dek ok. And now, guess what? How do we do 20? We say du dek. Du dek uno, du dek du, du dek tri, du dek quar, du dek quin, du dek ses, du dek sep, and so on. Okay, and then 30, of course, is tri dek. Tri dek uno, tri dek du, tri dek quar, tri dek quin. And you have quar dek, quin dek, ses dek, sep, and so on. And then you only need to know what is 100. And 100 is cent, okay? So when I want to say 523, I will say quin cent dudek tri. Okay, you just put it together like that. 1,000 is mil, and then you have million, milliono actually, and you can put together any kind of language, any kind of number, and you will actually in your head see that number the way you put it together, because that's exactly the same way as you write the number. And that works in, well, no other language, that's what I thought, but Japanese and all these Asian languages, they have the numbers also very regular. I would postulate that even these languages have some irregularities in their counting, which Esperanto doesn't have, because Esperanto has the advantage that they actually made it, you know. The guy that invented it did that 100 years ago, and he made it to be easy, to be as a second language that you can speak, learn easy, and that you can communicate with other fellow citizens on planet Earth. And now there's an additional kicker, a very interesting point. Malcolm Gladwell said in his book that actually Chinese people can memorize more numbers in their memory loop, so to speak, phone numbers or whatever. They can memorize up to 10 numbers, while we Westerners can only memorize up to 7. 7 is the digit of phone numbers that was chosen because they found out that that was the magic number that people could remember. Because people remember the numbers by syllables, and the way, like kind of the words. So to say that in Japanese or Chinese, the numbers are much shorter. So 7 is long. Give an example in Esperanto is sep, 7 is longer, you know, 8. And in Esperanto you say ok, you know. So I can say o ok sep ok, you know. And in English I would say 8878, you know, that's huge. It takes a lot longer to say. And it's actually also stored in the brain. Much shorter. That means you need less memory, you know, so to speak, you need less registers. The CPUs used to have these registers, if you ever programmed, you're familiar with that. And you store these things for the short term there, and they are limited, there's only a certain amount of space in them. So that's very interesting. And so my theory was, now could you think more efficient and faster and use less brain cycles if you would do that in Esperanto? And for me the answer is pretty clear already, yes. And since there is no other artificial language that actually was made to be like that, I would say there is no other language you can do that. Because what I've seen is that pretty much all languages that are there, they have some sort of anomaly in one thing or another. For example, English is not that bad really. English is kind of really simple. You only have one article, which works pretty good, you know. Other languages have lots of articles. For example, German has 3, okay? Der for masculine, die for feminine, and das for neutral. This wouldn't be so bad if it wouldn't be a total mess. That means the words actually don't correspond necessarily to the gender. For example, you say die Maschine, the machine, you know, but it's feminine, the machine. You should think that the machine should be neutral as a thing, right? And for example, das Kind, the child, is neutral, you know, which makes sense for some degree because the child is neither feminine or masculine. It could be both. So you don't want to necessarily indicate already what it is. But on the other side, the neutral could also be construed as saying, denoting a thing, you know. And a kid is definitely not a thing. It's either female or male. So there's a lot of these things in languages, okay? But in English, for example, a lot of things are really easy. If you talk with people around the globe, they'll tell you, oh, English is easy to learn, except in Asia, of course, because in Asia, the root base is very much different. But English has one thing that is a total killer and is totally nasty, and that's the pronunciation, because the pronunciation doesn't make sense at all, you know? For example, you say steak, but you say teak, and it's written exactly the same. So you have to memorize these exceptions, and that makes language learning so much harder. I hope you have enjoyed this little audio blog, and I would always welcome comments on that subject. This is an experimental subject, I understand that, and one day I will speak Esperanto as fluent enough that I can actually think in it, and then I'll see about that, proving that theory. Okay, that's it.